Five, four, three, two, one. And we're back.
And we're back again.
All right. So why don't you explain sort of the what we're going to get into today?
Yeah. So I put up a question on my Instagram. So my Instagram is at Stride Bass Hunt. I'm pretty sure most of you are probably coming from my Instagram. But if you're not, my Instagram is at Stride Bass Hunt. It's where I upload all of my, it's pretty much where most people know me from, I guess. So I put a question up on my story saying, ask me questions for the podcast. And I got a question that I thought was very topical for this time of year. And I liked it so much. I was like, I think we should do the whole podcast on this.
Yeah.
So that question is
from Fishing With, let's see if we can get the full name here.
Hit that.
No.
Whatever.
Whatever. Right. Anyway, Fishing With Tristan's something or other. It's too long for us to read. spring versus fall, striper fishing tactics.
So
a battle of the seasons, if you will.
Yeah. I read that and I thought it was a great question because it's very like topical for this time of year and it is the fall. It is the end for a lot of people, but it's also the like prime time for a lot of other people. I'd say if you live pretty much, I'd say it's probably towards the end for everybody around Cape Cod, but anybody that's past Cape Cod, it's probably prime time for everybody. So I'm just like saying, so for in general, spring and fall fishing is it's awesome because there's a lot of bass around at that time. It's when they migrate through your area, and it could be, you know, anytime. I mean, I guess it starts probably late April for some people, and it, you know, start, and then it probably for others more northern, like me, it probably starts more around, well, not more around, like in early May. So I guess you have like a month difference between the two, but the tactics and methods that I use are actually pretty similar, just that in the spring they can be sometimes more finicky than in the fall. But what I'm gonna count like the spring run, I'm gonna count the spring run as until you have bass that are like 40 pounds around. So for us, we get those around. We get them around, I guess, in June. I guess pretty much in June is when we get the really big fish around. You start seeing your first like 40-incher early June, but or like maybe late May, early June for us. But when we get the bass that are really big, I'll go to like mid-June. So the tactics that I use pretty much up to mid-June and where I target them and the whole thing. So we're going to start for the spring run because that's first. And then I'll move into the fall run. So as far as I'm going to first talk about like where and like, I guess where I target the fish in the spring. So in the spring, there's the bass are obviously running. So that means that there's a huge migratory schools of fish pushing down the coast, following the bait fish and the warmer water and, you know, going all the way down to Maine and the best places to really start looking for those first few schoolies of the season are the bays and estuaries where the water is getting warmed up. If it's a muddy estuary, the sun is warming up the mud, and that makes the water in the estuary warmer than the ocean water. And on an outgoing tide, a lot of the times in the estuaries, that's where you can find the first schoolie of the season. And that's always it's always awesome to catch your first schoolie of the season. And for me, actually, I got my first schoolie of the season off the rocks this year, which is another good place to get them. And I feel like they pretty much show up within 3 days of them showing up in estuaries. They're going to be all up and down the, you know, rocky coast to sandy beaches and all around that area. So what you want to do is target those estuaries and bays. And I like to target them for the first probably 4 weeks of spring. You target them there, and that's where you want to target, I guess, river mouths and stuff like that, because there are like herring runs, And during the herring runs, that's where you're going to find your first like 40-inch basses in the estuaries and in the river mouths and in the rivers, looking for those big, like big, large white baits, those in early spring that are going to, or either I guess coming out at that point to breed and stuff. So those big herring, which are pretty long, they're probably, almost 10 inches long, or some of them are 10 inches long, and they come out and the bigger fish are always staged up there feeding on them. That's where a lot of guys do really well early in the spring. And it's always fun because you can actually target them a lot of the time with big topwaters. And so what I found is when I'm, going to target bigger, if I'm going to go target schoolies, I like to use either, topwater, obviously, because that's my favorite way of targeting fish. Or I'll use a small, soft plastic, sluggo-like thing. So I'm just going to go, I guess we'll go into I'll use it. This is like an old slug. I don't really use sluggos very much. This is probably, it's the leftover one from the spring. But this is probably a 4 or 5 inch sluggo. And I like to just put a weightless hook in it. I'd probably put like maybe a 3-aught J hook, just threaded 3-aught J hook in it. And I use lighter line, especially in the estuaries. And you can cast it out pretty decent. I mean, you don't have to cast too far. And it kind of sits on the surface and you kind of twitch it and has that really lifelike motion that you get from only the sluggos with, or not sluggos, but soft plastics in general with their very seductive movement of the tails. And then they twitch across the surface and the bass slam it, especially the schoolies. And it's a very, what I like to call an unthreatening prey item. So they just, they'll pretty much eat it because they see that it's like easy to, like an easy meal for them. So they'll hit it. So I like using small soft plastics in the spring. When for your first bass of the season, you can use those small soft plastics and target those small bass that are a little bit more finicky in the early spring. And I tend to think that the spring run, at least for the early parts of it, the bass are not as aggressive as they are during the fall run. So it's pretty difficult at times to catch those fish. So you have to use lures that are like soft plastics that are very easy for the bass to, key in on and hit. Another lure that is actually something that people are going to you use that in the spring. And I mean, a lot of you guys will use this all year round, but it is a small bucktail. I like a small white bucktail. The jig strip really doesn't matter. Red or white really doesn't matter. I just happen to have a red jig strip at the end of this one. This is a 1/2 ounce smiling bill, bucktail. And it just is, I had my best day in the spring on this. I probably had in an hour, probably, I don't know, well, maybe it was a little over an hour, but I had over 50 bass in an hour on a little white bucktail. It was actually in the spring, there were a couple of pretty windy days and it was pretty churned up water. And there's like a line of like rocks in this area and the waves were crashing over the rocks. And there's probably a 6-foot stretch that was just filled with bass. And it was casting out there, letting it sink for only a moment and taking one twitch at the top of your rod and it would get eaten every single cast. And I was just catching I was every cast and I was just like whacking fish every cast. And they weren't big. They're all like low 20s, but it was a great bite for the spring. So that's what I'm trying to say is in those conditions where you might not be fishing in an estuary and you might venture out to the rocks or the sandy beaches and you're in current, I guess even in your estuary you can throw a bucktail, but especially if there's white water, don't like shy away from throwing a bucktail in the spring because you can definitely pull lots of fish on a bucktail in the spring. And I know a lot of people do use bucktails, but I know there's a lot of people that are like, really use a bucktail in the spring? And yeah, you can use bucktails in the spring. I mean, it works really well. So I use soft plastics, I use bucktails. And now we'll get into more of the topwater game, I guess, of it. Favorite thing to really use in the early spring, just because the bass are not as aggressive, is a small spook like lure. So, or a walking lure, you could call it either way, where it kind of jumps in an S-like pattern in both directions. Now, the cool thing about having a smaller one is you can throw them in the estuaries and they work really well. This one's still being designed. This is a small Magnum Walker, but I don't think you can buy them yet because we're still designing one. But this is one of the drafts of it, I guess. But this is a Pumbaa Magnum Walker, but this is a great size. I think that even smaller ones in this work. I mean, a lot of people use the small jumping minnows, which, I mean, they're great lures in the spring as well. I mean, any small walking lure in the spring does really, really well. And I love throwing those. And then once the bass get a little bit more aggressive, and they're still not that big yet, but they get a little bit more aggressive, I like to pull out small pencil poppers. So I like throwing the Tinker in the spring. This is pretty similar to fall fishing. And I guess we went over fall tactics in one of the podcasts that we did, or
yeah,
briefly.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned it before. We've mentioned some stuff about fall tactics, yeah, but nothing like super, super in-depth.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go in-depth with the lures that I use, mostly the Pumbaa lures, but I'm talking these are two great, you know, smaller pencils that work really well in both spring and the fall, but we'll get into the fall. But I use both these in the spring. So when the bass are a little bit more aggressive, I like to pull this out because, I mean, you cut a 43 early June on a pencil, 43 incher. So that like shows you, and we talked about that in other podcasts, but pulling little pencils, and the pencil's like that big too. It was a cotton cordel at that time, but yeah. So using little pencils like this are fantastic early spring lure, or not early spring, I'd say mid-spring lures when there's, you know, a few keepers around, but nothing crazy. I throw little pencils and stuff because it really does get those, you know, a little bit bigger fish out of the schools come up and hit it. And then as I go further into something that I like throwing in the spring, that is another one that people are going to be like, you throw this in the spring? And I really like small Danny plugs in the spring. Now, the reason I like small Danny plugs is they mimic a white bait, so you can get ones that mimic all sorts of different stuff. I happen to have a black and purple one, which is a great color, and it works really well at night. So you can throw this at night in the spring. I like throwing bunker colored ones too, or I'll have ones that are like a shad color. In the spring is especially good with that. If a little bit of blue is always great in the spring. And this is just has that slow wobble on the surface, and those finicky fish again will come up and hit this. And I had my like a couple of my larger bass of the season on little Danny plugs like this, or as far as like in the spring, like larger bass in the spring, not like in general. So like when it was early spring, the bass showed up the first week, I was pulling bass up to 28 inches on this little guy right here. So it just has that slow little, and it was actually in black and purple, and it was at night around, it was like the first new moon in like May or something. And I got it. And it was just, they were just crunching on this. It was crazy. I was getting, you know, I had a great night in like a small little cut. I was just throwing it in river mouths, especially. You throw this in an estuary, the little bit of current you just keep tension with it, and it just sits there and washes down the current. The bass can't resist it. They just hammer it. So don't be afraid to throw pretty big plugs in the spring because they will hit it. And that's what I'm going to get into in a second. Okay, you've caught maybe your first mid 30-inch bass, and you're like, okay, so there's a shot of there being bigger fish around. That's when I would throw... during the day, I pick up a Magnum Walker, a full-size Magnum Walker. So the cool thing about like a big spook is it has, especially in the spring when the bass are more finicky and they're not really that super aggressive, so they're not really going after bigger pencils and stuff, but you want to like throw something that has a large profile so you can get that bigger bass. And honestly, there's no better lure than a big walking lure in the spring for big bass. I mean, they just love big lures and like big walking lures in the spring. If you want to pull a really nice bass, and especially on topwater, I mean, there's nothing better than a giant fish hitting topwater, but like, I mean, a big walking side to side lure that you can pop in one direction, let it sit for a second, then pop in the other direction, let it sit, and you see the bass swirl up behind it, and then you pop it really quickly, and they just crush it. I mean, it's so awesome throwing big walking lures in the spring. So I'd even throw this earlier than you would initially believe, too, because sometimes it will surprise you how early there are some really nice fish around. And you'd still catch some better schoolie, like 28, 30-inch bass on this. But, like, if there is a 40-inch or plus bass around, I mean, you can catch a 48-inch bass on this plug because they just love this motion in the spring. It just mimics those injured shad, especially towards, sometimes they are pretty beat up coming out of spawning and they're at the end of their lives or whatever, and they'll be up on the surface. You've seen them, they'll get up on the surface and they'll be like kind of swimming like in this, like they'll like flip their tail and kind of like skid across the surface. It looks so much like one of these lures just walking across the surface. I mean, you can tell if this was, I mean, I have smaller ones. Oh, where is that? Like, I have one, look at this. So I have one that's in like a shad color. I mean, this is a small one that I'll throw in the spring, and oh my God, I mean, there's almost nothing better than throwing something with a little blue and pink in it and just looking like a shad. If you had a big one of those and you're throwing it either in an estuary where there are big fish feeding on shad or in the river mouths, again, just letting that thing sit in the current and just walking it through the current, I mean, the bass just hammer it, and they can be surprisingly big. And then that gets me to, again, the whole metal lip game. Throwing, and this would be a little bit later spring, I find that there are, once the adult bunker really move in, you throw big, like really big Dannies like this, and have that slow wobbling motion. And again, those bigger bass love that, because they don't like really going quick. I mean, you use a pencil and it's all frantic and throwing, making a lot of noise. Sometimes they want that subtle motion that the Danny does very well. So I guess we talked about having, you know, in the estuaries, that's where you really want to be in the spring. And you want to try to target those bass where the water is at its warmest. I like an outgoing tide in the spring because the water's warming up all day. And so you can fish on an outgoing tide. That's also great. And, you know, and then obviously, like, if you try to match the colors of the bait that they're feeding on, that always helps. And a lot of the time it's a shad-like thing in the estuaries, especially if you're in a place where they're shad spawning up in the rivers or whatever. So that's what I would use as far as, like, spring tactics. And I think it's very solid. And I'd also say don't be afraid to use heavier line than you'd think if you're fishing in general. But, like, sometimes you'll be using a little setup for schoolies. And if you throw something that's, like, one of those walking, like, big walking, like, Magnum walkers, you could hook something that is absolutely enormous. So always be ready for that is what I'm trying to get at, is always be ready for that bigger fish.
So do you find, like the fish that show up in the spring, do they sort of have a different attitude than the fish that are like midsummer or in the fall? What makes like a spring bass like unique in whatever characteristic that you see is compared to any other season?
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to say, is the whole thing about there being like the bass in the springs tend to be a little bit not as aggressive as the bass in the fall. I feel like a lot of people take I love the fall because the bass are more aggressive, and everybody always seems to get their biggest bass towards the end of the fall, or towards the like middle of the fall is when there are bigger bass around, and then you have those big bass coming through, and they're more aggressive because they're feeding heavily. It's not really like that in the spring, but at the same time, it is a lot like that in the spring where there is a lot of big bass around. So you got to take advantage of that time where they're moving past your area, because they are. So if you think about it, all the big bass that have to go all the way down to Maine, you know, no matter where you are, I guess even if you're in Maine, there are giant fish going down to Maine anyway, but all of those big fish, they have to go by you at some point. So you just want to be there to intercept that giant school, and they also have to come back. So If you're gonna like target those big fish, you wanna you know, first of all, fish when the season starts, but you want to be able to try to fish as often as you can, and try to throw those bigger plugs earlier than you would actually initially believe, because a lot of the times, even for us, I mean, I'm saying you can get a 40 plus inch bass where we are in Cape Ann, which is pretty far north as far as it goes. If you're like we're like North Boston like area, so that's like pretty far north. We're getting big, like pretty large bass, like those low 40 inch bass at the middle to end of May. So to just be ready for like, you know, oh, so if we're getting them that early, how early are they going by your spot is what I'm trying to get at. So if you think, okay, maybe it will take, like if you're down on the Cape, does it take 2 weeks? Well, I guess roughly when we hear that there's big bass being caught at the Cape, it takes about 2 to 3 weeks for them to get to us. And that's very roughly. Because again, you could have a giant 40-pound bass be one of the first fish here. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with my phone right now. I have more questions probably.
Yeah, which we'll get to.
We'll get to later. But so anyway, the as far as like try to throw those big lures earlier than you'd believe, even for like a little bit. So you're like fishing and you're on a good bite and you're getting a whole bunch of schoolies. Try pulling out like a big walking plug or a big Danny plug and throwing it out there and see what happens. Just to see if there's something that's really big there, but just not coming up and hitting your small whatever you're throwing. Because sometimes you'll be surprised at how big of a fish will be there in the spring. Because along with all those little fish, there are some really, really big fish moving through too. So always be like, you know, ready for there to be a big fish, and always throw those bigger plugs, especially in the spring, because it is equally as good as the fall for getting that big fish this season. And there's nothing better than starting off your season with an absolutely massive fish. It really makes you feel like you're going to have a great season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's what I would say as far as like fall, as far as spring goes. Those are some great tactics to implement in the spring, to hopefully increase your chances in getting bigger fish. Mm-hmm. And then now we're going to move more. And of course, I guess one other thing, of course, for the spring, try fishing at night. Again, the water's cold, so always be careful, but like try fishing at night in the estuaries, and try fishing with eels in the estuaries. Cause if you really want to pull a big fish and you're on a good bite throughout the middle of the day, try getting eels and going back to that same tide at night and throwing an eel in there. Who knows? Maybe you'll get it into a really nice fish.
So like outgoing tide at night with eels.
Yeah. I'd say if you had a like outgoing tide, or like, I really like, personally, I like when it's just coming off of a slack tide on either side. Mm-hmm. And I guess for estuaries, a lot of the time you want it to be high,
around high tide.
Yeah, exactly.
Going out.
Yeah. Cause that means that's the water filled up. And if you, in a perfect world, you know, if I was to say in a perfect world, it would be an incoming tide all the way, like at, like all during like, all pretty much until it gets dark, and then right at dark it starts switching, and that's when I would start fishing with eels at night. Like that would be perfect, because that would mean that water is going to get warmed up all day as it's coming in through the mud and whatnot, and then as it's coming out through the estuary, that's when those bigger bass are going to be staged up waiting for those and they're not going to be like really having to be like tight to the bottom, you know, trying to get out of that current, but they're able to stage up and look for those big fish. And I'd also like not be afraid of like fish reeling. Like if you're in an estuary, especially if you're in the grass, I wouldn't be afraid of reeling the eel right up to your feet, because sometimes they'll be like right on the edge of the grass line, especially if there's current coming through though. And you know, you can always try to find those current breaks, and if you're in a spot you're catching a lot of schoolies, obviously they're probably going to be in that same current break. But if you want to reel it right up to your feet with the eel, because sometimes they're, and I'll get more into all the tactics for fishing eels in a podcast soon coming, but just for our purposes, reel it up to your feet, because sometimes the bass will be tight to the grass. Anyway, so now we're going to go more to a fall tactics. And I had an incredible fall. I mean, as far as like numbers of like 25 to 30 pound bass. I mean, it was extraordinary. And it was because of one big thing, that was the bunker. I mean, we had a lot of really, really big bunker all year, but especially in the fall, it really made a difference, because what happened was those bass that were starting to push back, and this happened early. I mean, our fall season really started, I would say, mid-August is when it really started, and I started to catch some decent bass around or I was catching decent bass, but I got into numbers of decent bass around mid-August. Had a few nights where that we were catching a lot of like 30, 40, you know, in like plus inch bass, you know, between, you know, for like back to back type stuff. I remember we were fishing one night, and we were, you know, I was fishing with the guy that creates all the plugs, Joe, for Puma Plugs, and we went out there one night, and he asked me, he was like, what should I bring out? And I said, bring the largest plugs you have. So he brought like the biggest Danny plugs. He brought like the biggest jointed swimming plugs. And we went out to the spot, and I was like, okay, cast here and reel it. Be careful, because the bass will sit right at your feet. And so he casts out, he's reeling it in, and he hooks up at like a 25 pound bass, like right at his feet. And then he loses that one. And then next cast, he hooks into like a 35 pound bass. And it was epic. So it was one of those things that's like, it was on one of these jointed swimmers right here. Because like, so that's the thing, like if they're keyed in on bunker in the fall, that's what they're going to want. So they're going to want large pencils. They're going to want big yellow walking plugs. I like yellow over white in the fall because of the bunker generally. Or if they're keyed in and blitzing on mackerel, obviously mackerel is what you want to go with. Mackerel, I feel like has its moments, but I feel like white is great because it kind of mimics almost all the bait fish, because a lot of the bait fish have a white bottom to it. And I fish mostly on top during the day. So as far as where do you want to be fishing during the fall? So I like to be fishing on sandy beaches during the fall, because what happens is, especially during the day, most, I would say, I like to be fishing on sandy beaches during the day in the fall because of blitzing bass. And there's certain beaches that I know that once they start blitzing, it's pretty much clockwork. Every morning and every night, there'll be a blitz. And I mean, I've gotten you on some, we've had some great days. Yep. Where it's been crazy. I mean, I've gotten 80 fish in a couple of hours on blitzes on these beaches that are just like, I mean, it's one of those things that's like, you can, where you have a little popper, you cast out and you just rip it across the surface as fast as you can. You see all these bass like leaping out of the water for it, because it's just like, it's been crazy. But what happens is, I found that if you really want to fish, like you want to be able to get onto a big blitz and that's like your goal, try to go to a couple of sandy beaches, but you want to have to put in the work. So you're going to wake up really early before it's like sunrise. And right at sunrise, you want to be at the beach, you know. And if there's a blitz going on, you can generally see if you can, sometimes you can use binoculars and whatnot, and you look down the beach, you watch for the birds. But I wouldn't say that's always written in stone, because sometimes we were on a blitz that there were zero birds. Remember when we were on that corner, mm-hmm. that time, there's no birds and had a bunch of bass blowing up. But if you look for you want to look for the birds, because that's always a big key giveaway that there's a blitz going on or about to break out. And then you can fish that, and then generally that very night there should be a blitz about at that same tide at night. And then that would, or not at night, but at dusk. And then the other thing is, so you fish that blitz until it gets dark out. And when it gets dark out, you pull out the bigger plugs and you fish at night. And that's when there will be those even bigger bass. And I'm talking about 25, 30 pound bass cruising up and down, feeding on the bunker even at night. So you want to keep fishing, because what will happen is generally you'll have a blitz, and then there'll be like a half hour to an hour lull where there's not a lot going on, and then they'll start really feeding again once it gets super dark out. And then that's when there'll be generally some bigger bass, depending on the time of year, there'll be some even bigger bass around. So I like to fish that. If you can find, if there's a rip on the beach, sometimes at night the bait will get pinned up against that rip, and then there'll be like kind of like a blitz, but they're not showing. There'll just be a lot of bass pushing around bait. And so it's very, it's a lot of fun, especially when you're fishing at night. Because I fish at night after there's been blitzes, and you'll listen. If it's like a quiet night, you'll hear these big pops. I mean, I remember, this is not necessarily springtime, but we are in the harbor, or we were near a harbor, and the bass were, there's a retaining wall, and there's a big adult bunker that were, no joke, the biggest adult, I mean, almost a foot long. They were enormous.
Wow.
Do you, I mean,
were, I wasn't there, but
I snagged one of them. But they were absolutely enormous bunker. And so they were pushing, and it was insane. It was like there's a lot of bunker, and they're all like on the surface, and they would get nervous, and then it would be like somebody shot an absolute missile under the water, because it was like a giant, like the bait were jumping and jumping, and then all of a sudden all the bait would leap up against the wall, the retaining wall, and they do the same thing at the beach. The bass will come in at night. You'll watch them like push all the bait up towards the beach, and all this bunker will just get flung onto the beach. And this, I'm talking about, this is at night in the harbor, watching this happen, and I was like so shocked, because I was like, this, we're in the middle of the inner harbor, and there's like 40 pound bass, 30 and 40 pound bass, I mean, they had to be, because there's absolutely enormous bunker getting pushed up against the retaining walls. I was so, I mean, but that's what they do. I mean, you see the same thing on the sandy beaches. So that's the other thing. You're fishing on the sandy beach, reel it right up to your feet, because sometimes those bass will be just cruising across the lip of the beach, feeding on the, because if you've ever seen big blitzes during the day, you'll be standing in the water. If you're even like 4 feet out in the water, there'll be bunker sideways going across the side of the beach, because the bass don't really like getting too far up on the beach.
So blitzing exclusively happens in the fall?
It doesn't exclusively happen in the fall. It's just that that's when everything goes. So like there's the baits migrating, the bass are migrating. And so again, major food source is bunker. Sometimes there's herring, depending on how south, far south you are. Sometimes you'll have mullet. There's a lot of stuff that they blitz on in the fall. And it's one of those things that if you can, and I'm talking little pencils, like I showed, the Big Eye and the Tinker are great. Magnum Walkers are great in the fall. I mean, I had a great fall just on those Magnum Walkers. And then especially bucktails. I mean, this is when everybody fishes a bucktail, but you fish bucktails in the fall during those big storms. I mean, those kill it. That's what I would say is probably my number one, like, you know. And then obviously, and I guess I feel like I fish almost exclusively the same plugs, except I feel like I fish bigger plugs in the fall than I do in the spring, because I think there's, in my opinion, I think there's just, depending on, I guess, what time of year it is, again, early fall, like early fall run, fish the biggest plugs you can when there's big bait around, because that's what's going to get you those bigger fish. And then you, of course, have the sand eels. So the sand eel runs. And the thing about that is, like, tins. Obviously, you throw, like, diamond jigs are great for the sand eel run. And you can catch giant fish off of a sand eel. But I don't really like the sand eel runs, because I feel like it's, like, harder to get a bigger fish. And I think that, like, if you can, like, it's so much easier when the obviously when they're feeding on bigger bait, because that weeds out a lot of the smaller bass. But I like throwing big stuff. Like some of my lightest rods are only, like my lightest rod's like a 3 ounce rod. Mm-hmm. So like, I like throwing large stuff. That's kind of my thing. I like throwing very, very big plugs, because I think that's what really gets you those bigger bass. And I don't really like fishing with like little soft plastics. That's why I only do it for the little short time period in the spring. And then even then I'll start throwing like Danny plugs and stuff, because I want to get those bass to eat those. But again, we're going to talk. So I talk sandy beaches are great. I like coves in the spring, as far as like,
you mean the fall?
In the fall, I mean, yeah. So I like coves in the fall. So if you're fishing, and what I mean by coves, I guess, is like a bay. Like if there's like a harbor or something, and there's like a bay before the harbor, that's a great place, because I've found that like that's more inshore, and I feel like a lot of it, I'm just talking mostly for blitzing fish. And we don't actually have many bluefish, if like almost none around where we are, especially now. We used to have a lot, but we now almost have none. So we don't deal with a lot of bluefish, but I know a lot of people are like, oh, the fall is just full of bluefish. Not that bluefish aren't fun to catch, but if they're small, they're kind of a nuisance for a lot of people. But fishing at night will generally weed out a lot of the bluefish. You will still catch bluefish, but if you fish at night, that's another good way to actually catch bass, and especially big bass in the fall. Again, sandy beaches are a great, great thing to fish in the fall. And then, you know, pull out your light tackle stuff once the bass gets small. Fish with the fly rod, fish with, you know, your small gear, and try to pinch the barbs, again, both in the spring and the fall, because a lot of the time there's smaller bass around, and then when the big bass do come around, really realistically, if the barbs don't do a whole lot to help you, besides maybe keep, even then, you try to get the hook in, into the fish's mouth. Like, a big fish has a tough mouth. They feed on a lot of bait that has spines. You want to, if you hook set with a big barb, sometimes, especially with a small, lighter action rod or with a very soft tip, which a lot of people fish with small stuff in the spring and the fall, when you try to chuck a big hook into a fish, especially a big fish, you'll lose it because it has that big barb on it. If you pinch the barb, it will go right in, no problem, and you'll generally have a better hookup on the big fish. So it's just something to keep in mind, better on the fish and better on you.
Is there weather considerations for fall versus spring fishing? Yeah. Obviously the water temperature is different, but mm-hmm. Then you get storms in the fall, but is there anything else that jumps out at you?
Yeah. So I'd say the big thing for the spring is, especially around us, it kind of varies. As far as I guess we could talk about water temperature. They tend to show up in the spring when it's between 50 and 55 degrees. Now, 50 degrees is pretty early, I guess, for a lot of the time, but they'll show up when it's 52, 53. I feel like that's when most of the time they show up for us. And it really, I guess, it depends on where they are, but they generally will show up in the bays, and that's probably because those bass that are showing up early in the bays are holdover fish. You start seeing them with a lot of sea lice within a day or two of you catching the bass. Even sometimes you'll catch your first bass of the season and will be covered in sea lice. And for those of you that might not know what sea lice are or what it is when the bass go from being in fresh water or in the bays and rivers spawning, and they go out into the salt water and they travel through the salt water. This little parasite called sea lice, which I don't think hurts them at all, just will attach themselves to the body of the bass. And that shows you that, oh, this bass has been migrating. So that's how you know there's migratory bass coming in. But you fish for them in the bays and whatnot, and you'll see them. And I guess they'll pretty much show up around when the water turns in that low 50 degrees. And then as far as the water temperature climbs, you probably see your first 40 inch bass when the water is probably 58 to, well, I guess once it hits 60, pretty much they're all big fish are in. But I'd say mid to high 50s is when you see your first, or I guess like just upper 50s is when you see your first 40 inch bass. And then when it hits 60, I'd say there's definitely some 40 pound bass around when it hits 60, depending on how the fall's been, I guess. If it's super stormy, so that's the thing in the fall, I think that they don't like super stormy water in the fall. And the only reason I say I don't think they like it is because I think it's a lot harder to present a smaller bait to the bass when it's super, super stormy. And that's just, I think they're there, but I just think that if it's super wavy, and that's why it's better the fish in the estuaries, because it's not as wavy.
This is fall or spring you're talking
this
about?
This is spring I'm talking okay, about.
Okay, you said fall.
Oh, I keep messing up.
Yeah, I know. Just trying to keep it straight.
Yeah, so...
In the spring, rough weather is bad.
Is not good, because in the fall it's great, but which I guess is a big major difference. So springtime fishing, I don't like fishing in with a lot of big storms out in I guess off of sandy beaches that much or off of the rocks that much, because I think that it's harder to present a smaller profile to the bass. And not saying that you can't, and not saying that you won't catch a bass the 1st of May here with or wherever, or even end of April, but you won't get a bass. Right then, I'm just saying that you'll be more productive if you're in calmer water. So again, bays are great. Outgoing tide is great because you have that warm water. And then for fall, it's kind of completely different because I find that generally a bucktail will be able to do all your work if it's really rough. So I like fishing off of the sandy beaches. If it's rough, I think that it tends to blow a lot of the bait close to the beach. So a lot of the time when it's not very rough out, I feel like a lot of time they'll be blitzing pretty far offshore, which makes us surf casters very, makes our lives more difficult when they're blitzing on big bait offshore. And then when it's really windy and it's blowing straight in and it blows those big bait fish in, then you have a little bit better of a shot. Sometimes it's frustrating because you'll be in a nor'easter and they'll be like 200 yards offshore, but they'll be way further than 200 yards otherwise. So I guess, like, I think that when it's stormy and blowing straight in, it can kind of blow the bait in closer to the beach, which helps. Again, fishing in the estuaries doesn't hurt, but it does get pretty cold at night. Mm-hmm. So if you fish in the morning off of the estuaries, sometimes it's a little bit cold. But I like fishing at river mouths in the fall because what happens is a lot of the bait gets like pushed in and out. And so they kind of stick around the river mouths a lot. And especially where we are, we have a few river mouths around. So that's a great time to kind of go and fish in that area and, you know, seek out those blitzes and stuff for early morning.
Is there a difference, like you talked about plugs and like location and stuff like mm-hmm. that, but is there a difference in the way you're rigging up stuff with lines and setups and things like that?
Yeah.
Does it change spring or fall, or is it basically the same?
Well, you know, like people have been listening and know me as like, I like to go as heavy
as you can without exactly. hurting yourself.
Exactly. So if I can get away throwing, you know, super heavy stuff, I'm going to get away throwing super heavy stuff. I'm going to throw it. So I try to fish again. When the bass do get smaller, I'll drop down to 50 pound leader, and people are going to be like, what, 50 pound leader? What do you fish with normally? But yeah, I'll drop down. That's like as low as I will go. Like even in the early spring, I'm still fishing like 50 pound leader. I mean, it's a rare day when I'm throwing 40 pound leader, put it mm-hmm. that way, just because I think that there's no reason to throw a leader that light because you'll, and people are going to be like, oh, I fish 15 pound.
It's just your opinion.
Yeah. This is my opinion. Take, you know, a little bit of what I do and apply it to your stuff. But I've been successful this way. So this is how I do it. I fish as heavy as I can because I think that if you're going to be fishing in general and you hook a giant fish, you have like every 10 pound heavier your line is, it increases your chance that much more.
Yep.
So during the spring, I'd probably fish my lightest during the spring. That's just because I would be more in the estuaries in the spring and there's less to break off on in the estuaries in the spring. Then, in the fall, I will maybe drop down to 50 when it's like pretty much the end, like my last week or two of fishing, I'll drop down to 50. Because I know there's not going to be anything bigger than maybe 35 inches. So that's what I'll drop down to. But in general, in the mid or like the beginning of the fall run, in the mid fall, when I know there's like 15, 20 pound bass around still, I'm going to be throwing 60 pound leader or more. Because I think that even a, you know, 20 pound bass could potentially bring you into the rocks pretty easily. So I just try to, you know, give myself the best chance I got to landing the big fish. And again, it's a lot of fun to throw light tackle, but in my mind, you can throw heavy stuff on, you can throw like, I fish a Vanstall VS like 200 and I'll just loosen the drag on that with my 50 pound braid and my 50 pound leader. I'll just loosen the drag and that's light for me because that's just me playing the fish a little bit more. I can still tighten my drag down pretty quickly and tighten up on the bass if it's giant, but I have that security in the back of my mind that if I do hook into something that's big, I have that ability to tighten up and trust my gear to land that big fish. Versus fishing with like a 100, you know, size reel or like a 200 size reel and like 25 or 30 pound test line where like if I hook a big fish in rocks, I'm screwed. So, I mean, in general, you might not be screwed, but like you're probably going to be screwed if you hook a big bass and with 15 pound braid on or whatever.
Yeah.
So, that's what I would throw. Again, like I throw heavy stuff, but that's what I do.
Yeah. Is there anything else before we get to questions?
I mean, I as far as Rod goes, I mean, I try to throw in the fall, it's like, or in the spring and the fall, I like to throw something that's like a 9 foot rod, maybe an 8, 8.5 foot rod, just because I don't think it's necessary to be wielding a giant stick when you're, you know, fishing in the back bays or fishing wherever. Like, even if I'm fishing off the sandy beaches, again, a lot of the times the bass are not super far off the beach in the fall and in the spring. If I'm fishing in the back bays, I'm obviously not going to be throwing. I don't need to be getting out way to the middle of the wherever I'm fishing. And generally, you'll only be maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 feet shorter with a 8 or 9 foot rod than you would be with a 10 foot rod. So it's like, it's one of those things that, like, you don't need to have giant stuff to throw a small plug, because it would go about the same distance if you had a 10 foot stick versus a, you know, 8 foot stick. So that's what I would say as far as that goes. As far as reels go, again, I would say a Vanstall 200 or a Penn Battle 3 or something like that, that, like, you know, it's not giant, but not, you know, small. So you can really lock up if you need to. And then I would say I wouldn't go, I mean, I fished with 30 pound braid for a while and I didn't like it because I just felt scared constantly and I kept losing giant fish. Because I was, because it was like, there's, so I wouldn't, that's my thing. If you're going to go braided line, I wouldn't drop below 30. I mean, that's just scary. I wouldn't drop below 40, honestly. If you want to go light, I'd go 40 pound test all year. So yeah, that's my thing, is like, fish heavier braid. So I guess we'll look at questions. So again, I put a thing out on my like Instagram. And couldn't think there for a second. So we will see all the responses. Okay, we got like a bunch. We got like seven. I have one.
Do you want me to read? Do you want me to read names or?
I guess yeah. Read names. Why not? Did we go over the first
one? Ryan Doran, Springtime Tactics. Yeah, we already talked about that.
Yeah.
Basser Man, what are the weight slash lengths of the top five bass?
So there's a reason. That's actually hilarious. So I stopped putting the weights and lengths on my fish because obviously, like, it's Instagram and everybody, like, nobody ever can believe what you put on it. So I, like, you know, and I was like, whatever, it doesn't really matter. I guess if you want to know the weight slash lengths of
it, just give a range.
Give a range.
So what was, like, the lightest one?
Okay, so the heaviest one? Of the bass? Well,
what you're, just so everyone knows, what you're referring to is on your Instagram over the past
couple
of days or whatever, you've been posting a countdown of your five largest fish of the season. Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, I give a range of the smallest, largest fish to the largest, largest
the
fish.
The smallest, largest fish was, I think, like high 20s. So some
20
some,
watts.
20 pounds.
20 pounds. Yeah.
So it was a high 20 pounder, and it was probably, I know for a fact that it was like 44, 45 inches.
Yeah.
So that was the smallest one. And then
the largest one
was 49 inches. And then that's the estimated weight is like about, and we weighed it on the Boga, and there's, we have a video of my brother saying it's in the four, like he said 40s.
Yeah.
So it's our estimated weight between 45 and maybe 46 pounds.
Yeah. Just under 50.
So it's, it was just under a 50 pound bass. So I hate to like go away in depth in it. And like, I'm a pretty large guy.
Yeah.
And so obviously a lot of the, and when you, it's all about the angle of the fish. I mean, you can hold it out and make it look bigger. If you're, it's in close to your body, it's going to look smaller.
But when you know it's impossible to hold out
in front of you, it's pretty big fish. So it's hilarious. Like when you were holding your 43, I mean, you're much larger than me. So it looked like a guppy.
Yeah.
But so that's the whole thing when it's.
That's sort of the reason why you
haven't posted that. Yeah. And then that ties into everybody's whole thing about, oh, like, why don't, like, be nice to people online because you don't know what it is. Like, that's the whole thing is, like, you know, I don't really care because, like, honestly, like, I'm catching the, I know how big they are.
Yeah, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. Catching those fish where I, like, it was so crazy. But, yeah, anyway, continue.
Fishing Stripers says, I think this is part of a joke, but good spot for tomorrow morning, ?
Not in Cape Ann.
No, but what you've, but you sort of already covered it. It's fall.
It's fall. I don't
know where you are. You already sort of gave your... What's your location tips for the fall? Just really briefly, since we already talked
about it. Location tips for the fall. I would say sandy beaches. And I would say fish river mouths.
Yeah.
That's what I would go for. I don't know where you are, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, but... exactly. Okay, let's see if I can... SM Surf Casting asks, why do you think your general area was prime this year? What brought all those big fish?
That's a great question. I think I kind of covered this a little bit, but one of the major things was that we have a lot of giant bunker around,
yeah,
and they're in close to shore. But that's not really the full part of it, because the other thing is... we live in an absolutely extraordinary ecosystem. So we have, what is it, the largest salt marsh in the world or something like that? What is it?
I have no idea. Yeah.
The Great Salt Marsh,
yeah,
it's called.
Yeah.
So we have two river mouths, the Essex and the Ipswich,
yeah,
River. And it just feeds just life through the entirety of Cape Ann.
Yeah.
So it just is I would call it a secret mecca. I mean, you have the whole Plum Island, yeah, area, which is... I mean, people catch 50-pound bass there pretty, yeah, consistently. I mean, it's an incredible area in general with all the structure and everything between, yeah, the rocks, the sandy beaches, mm-hmm, the estuaries, the rivers. So what I think it has to do a lot of is with like...
A combination of
factors. A combination of a lot of factors, but we're in a pretty unique area,
yeah,
that... Again, I've heard people from here that are like, oh, I haven't caught a bass bigger than a keeper all season. And then I've heard people say that I've caught... multiple 40s like I have this, mm-hmm, season. So it's like one of those things that's like, depending on how you fish and,
yeah,
how good you are, it's super, super like, it's probably, I would say that it is the one of the hardest places to learn, mm-hmm, but if you figure out the secret decoder ring, you can really do damage here.
Yeah, and so you think you've just started to figure it out.
Yeah, but I've only scratched the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, you could basically do it your whole life.
Exactly, and still not know what you're doing. So I just know a little bit more than the average person is what I would say. So as far as like,
I think you're being modest, but all right.
Okay.
The last question, other than the one that we, yeah, started the podcast with, the last question is by Aram.brewer. I think this is a typo, but when 8 deep diving crankbaits better than normal crankbaits for stripers?
Does that make any sense to you? Yeah, it does. So what this question is asking is, are deep diving crankbaits better than crankbaits like a SP Minnow or something that's closer to the surface? That makes sense because there's... So I guess I don't think people really fish deep diving crankbaits, but the closest... So a deep diving crankbait's a freshwater bass lure, and I guess I don't fish for largemouth bass at all, but... I guess the objective of a deep diving crankbait is to have it bounce across the bottom of the rocks, mm-hmm, and like the bass.
Because he's theory. Talking about stripers specifically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like a deep diving crankbait, yeah, I'm pretty sure is almost exclusively like largemouth bass, okay, term, or like lure, or like it's mostly used for largemouth bass. The objective of what I'm just gonna say is the objective of a largemouth bass deep diving crankbait is for it to bounce across the bottom in like bold, like rocky conditions to pick up the fish that are in close to the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
The lure that I would say is the most closely related to that is probably a metal lip, and a deep diving metal lip. So one that dives down to the bottom, and we use it almost the exact same way you would use a deep diving crankbait. And I guess you could use a deep diving crankbait, but the deal is with that is it dives down to the bottom. And with the metal lip or the deep diving crankbait is...
You have a metal lip. Do you have a metal lip, yeah, over there?
I have a couple. And you can use this, but this is not what I would qualify as one. Because generally what happens is they kind of have a cut, like an angle coming off the head, yeah, like a darter.
This almost is going to make like a lot more sense if you're,
yeah, so there's
on YouTube.
So the lip of the metal lip is on the front and it generally is a flat, without the lip, the front of the plug... The nose of the plug is round and it's flat and
it looks like a cylinder.
Yeah, it's a cylinder.
A flat cylinder.
So there's an angle cut from where the lip would be inserted on the metal lip that is flat, like the top of the lure is flat, going up in an angle just above the eye, and like it, in a wedge, like
angle. Yeah, to push it down.
To push it down into the water deeper. So deep diving crankbaits generally will have that flat head to it. So what they do is, or deep diving crankbaits, deep diving metal lips.
Yeah.
Will dive down into the water and you reel it and they'll go down, they'll hit like a boulder. And then you pause it and you let it kind of flutter up above the boulder and then you reel it back down and then it'll hit into another boulder. And then you let it flutter up a little bit and then it'll dive back down. And generally, if you're fishing a current or around big boulders, the giant bass are sitting right tight to the boulder and they see this thing hit the rock and flutter up and they smash it. Yeah. It's a great way to, especially at night, to catch giant, giant bass.
Okay.
So, yeah, they work great. But if I was to say, like, oh, what do you use during the day? I mean, like an Assault Pro Minnow, a Daiwa Assault Pro Minnow is like a shallow diving crankbait or jerkbait or whatever you want to call it. And those are absolutely fantastic for catching all size ranges of bass, but they both work extraordinarily well. So I have another question that I screenshotted.
Okay. And is that the last
one? And that should be the last question.
Perfect. Pretty much right on time.
Oh, yeah.
All right, last question of the day.
I don't know
who this is from. What kind of braid do you like so far? I've tried Suffix 832, PPV2, and Daiwa J Braid 8 Grand.
Strand, I think is what it's
Strand.
Called. Yeah.
Yeah. Typo. Sorry. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah. So I think it's Strand. It could be Grand. I don't know. I haven't fished Suffix. Is that what it was?
Yep.
Suffix? I haven't fished Suffix before. I have fished the J Braid. I actually fished it at the beginning of the season. And I liked it. But two things happened with that is, one, I think the line actually degraded.
Really a little, quickly?
Not really quickly, but it did a bit. Like, it just got waterlogged, I would say.
Yeah.
So it kind of like got waterlogged, which didn't really affect the like strength of it. Mm-hmm. I just think it made it cast not as well.
Yeah.
So I liked it, and it also kind of chopped my fingers up a little bit. But it also could have just been the beginning of the season. So I switched to Power Pro Super Slick Generation 2, and both of these were in 50 pound. I also think it's cheaper. I switched to that, which I thought cast better and didn't fall apart as well. And I pretty much fished that for both of them for like equally half the season.
Okay.
So
if you were to pick up off the shelf your go-to, what would it be?
I really like the Power Pro Super Slick, honestly, because I thought that
in
50 pound plus. Yeah. But it really depends on the reel you're using.
Yeah.
But I have... Obviously, I use the Vansal VX200, VSX, I mean, and so I use that with the, whatever it is, the 50 pound.
The 50
pound. The 50 pound Power Pro on that, and I think that it's very abrasion resistant. I've had the bass go into rocks, and I've been able to have it not snap, and I've been able to luckily get them out.
Yeah.
So that works really well, and I've put an extraordinary amount of pressure onto that line. And it's not broken. So that's a big thing about what I use. And I think we went over this in real talk more.
Yep.
As well as what leader I'll use. So if you want to go listen, if you haven't listened to that one, listen, the last podcast was called...
I don't know if it was the last one, but it's...
Was it?
It's,
no, it was the last long podcast. So it was this... I don't know.
Just look for real talk.
Yes.
It's the second podcast.
Yeah, it's the second big podcast.
Yeah.
And,
SBH number 2.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Yes. So it is. So we talked about the braid and the stuff that I use
in details about reels
again,
all that good stuff.
Everything, take everything I say, you know, as just like I'm not a professional.
One man,
put it that way.
One man's opinion.
Anyway,
I think that wraps it up. For questions.
Pretty much wraps it up as far as questions go. And thank you for the questions. And if any more come in, I will save them.
And who knows? Maybe your question will spark a whole podcast.
Yeah, literally. So thank you for the person that asked the question about the fall and the spring, and because I really, really enjoyed that question. We talked a whole podcast about it.
Yeah.
And, there's other questions like, how do I eel and stuff that people have asked, and that will also
be sparked
as a whole entire podcast in among itself, because I feel like that's probably almost one of my number one questions. I feel like I get it pretty much daily. I have someone DMing me asking me how I eel.
Yeah.
Because... again, I do it pretty much how everybody else does it, but a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So, and I've been pretty effective with that, as well as with a lot of giant plugs. Anyway, so thanks for listening, and I hope you guys enjoyed. Yep. If you have any questions at all, DM me and I answer all the questions. Also DM me questions for the podcast.
Anytime. It doesn't necessarily have to be.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be when I ask for them, because we do podcasts twice a week.
So speaking of which, stay tuned for the weekly update coming out at the end of this week.
Yep. Or it wouldn't be the end, it would be the middle.
No, it'll be the end of this week, because this will come out middle of the week. Okay. And then end of the week will be
the week. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yep. Okay, so this will come out middle of the week. And we'll talk about what happened this week. Hopefully I can...
We'll come up with some stuff.
Yeah. And so, again, thanks for watching and listening and tuning in and everything. And
we'll see you next time.
Yeah.